Genesis chapter 12, we're going to begin reading with verse 7. And then we'll go to the book of Isaiah chapter 5. Genesis 12, 7 said, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto thy seed, will I give this land? And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there building an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south." Amen. I believe you're in the right direction when you're headed south. Amen. "And there was a famine in the land," verse 10. "And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass when he come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive." Which was very common in that day. If a king saw a woman that was beautiful and he wanted her, he'd just kill the husband. Amen. Just a quick way to get rid of him. Amen. And then he would marry her. Praise the Lord. Verse 13, he said, "Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, if my soul shall live because of thee." How many of you women would appreciate it if you was getting ready to go somewhere and your husband looked at you and said, "Now, baby, I know we've been married for a long time, but now when we get down here, I want you to act like you're my sister." Amen. I want you to pretend like that we're all right. Go to the book of Isaiah. I can tell just by the looks on your faces that wasn't going to fly. Isaiah chapter 5, amen. Isaiah 5 and 20. "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness. They put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward." Pay close attention to the next sentence. "And take away the righteousness of the righteous from him." Amen. To take away the righteousness of the righteous. Amen. That's the devil's desire right here this evening. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Thank you for the way you moved in the service this morning. We plead the blood of Jesus over these verses. We just ask you to help me and anoint me tonight, Lord, to say nothing more, nothing less than the good Holy Ghost would bid us to say. Help us around these altars tonight, Lord. I'll be a miserable failure if you don't help us and anoint us. Give us clarity of mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I simply want to preach to us for just a little while tonight on redefining Sarah. Praise God. That's really, the Lord's been dealing with me about this for several days. And I felt like just the last couple of days, I really kind of got a hold of it. And I want to put for a subtitle, "Was Abraham from West Virginia?" Amen. No. Praise the Lord. I read this, and that's why I thought, man, of all the jokes I've heard about folks from West Virginia, amen. Surely somebody has read this and asked the question. Maybe it's from Kentucky or somewhere down around yonder. Amen. But verses 20 through 22 of Isaiah chapter 5, it kind of gives us a list of some of the things that the devil would love to do. He would love to take light and call it dark. Amen. He would love to take evil and call it good. Amen. And he would love to take good and call it evil. Amen. Do you know how many, if you've got a child today in 2012 and you babysit them in front of a television, do you have any idea how many murders they see by the time they get to be 12 and 13 years old? Amen. You have any idea? And you see, the devil just ever so, and I told you the other day about the value of just incremental changes and just little things that we do. They make a big difference, but we do them very so easily and slowly and little. But little by little, the devil is taking the good and he's calling it evil. But he's taking the evil and he's calling it good. He said they'll turn the bitter and they'll call the bitter sweet. And then they'll call the bitter, hey man, it's going to be sweet, but the sweet is going to be called bitter. Amen. And on, but the ultimate goal that the devil has is found in verse 23. Isaiah 5 and 23, he said that they would take away the righteousness of the righteous. And I want to tell you, that's exactly what the devil would love to do to each and every one of us. Amen. He would love to rob our young people of their purity. He would love nothing more than to rob our elders of their convictions. Amen. And take away the righteousness that we have labored for. Amen. The righteousness that men and women down through the ages have bled and even died for. Amen. The devil would love to come and to take it away. How does he do that? Well, does it by, amen, trying to redefine us, amen, and trying, amen, to let us know, now, hey, this is 2012, and folks don't live that way anymore. I mean, people just don't live the way that you people live, and so he tries to redefine us, amen. The word define, you probably already know it, but let me give you a few definitions. It means to fix, amen, to mark the limits of, or to make distinct. It means to clear, to be clear, or to be detailed, amen. And I thought about it, amen, just this afternoon, of some defining moments in life. Amen, I thought about December the 7th of 1941. Amen. The bombing of Pearl Harbor. Amen. It went down as a defining moment. Amen. D-Day, June the 6th in 1944, went down in history as a defining moment in history. In our day, even, on the Twin Tower attacks in New York. Amen. 9/11 went down. Amen. I could tell you where I was at when I got the news. Amen. I saw a grown man stand and cry in the back of the store, amen, of a rack room shoes I was delivering to. And he was telling me, and that went down as a defining moment. Amen. Just a few years ago, America elected the first black man as a president. And that went down as a defining moment in history. Amen. But there is not much in our society that is fixed. Amen. There's not much in our society that stays the same. We are constantly having to rearrange the dictionary because people are coming up with new words. And old words don't mean what they used to mean. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going somewhere. You just hang with me here for a minute. Amen. We have redefined words. Praise the Lord. And even sin in our day has been redefined. Amen. Things that used to be called a sin, they now have been just called a mistake. Amen. Hallelujah. I was sitting in the office this afternoon and I was trying to consider what is the difference between a mistake and a sin. Amen. Well, a mistake is when you compliment or when you, amen, ask a woman when her baby is due only to find out that she is not pregnant. I'm telling you, brother, that's a mistake. Amen. Oh, but can I tell you, there's a big difference between a mistake mistake and a sin. We do not buy, amen, a used car anymore. It sounds better when they put pre-owned. Amen. Hallelujah. People are not homosexuals any longer. Amen. It's been upgraded. I say it's been downgraded, but they say it's called an alternate lifestyle. Amen. Abortion is no longer the murder of innocent babies, but it's a woman's right. Come on now. Amen. Alcoholism is nothing more than just a disease. Oh, come on now. And pornography. Amen. Oh, it's not sin. It's art. Help me, Holy Ghost. Abraham Lincoln asked a group of people one time. He said, hey, if you call a sheep's tail a leg, how many legs does a sheep have? And the group said, five. He said, wrong. Amen. Calling a sheep's tail a leg does not make it a leg. Amen. And I want to tell you, we can call it a mistake, and we can call it an alternate lifestyle, but God calls it sodomy, and God calls it a sin. And we can call it, and we can wrap it up in a new name and say it's a woman's right, but God calls it murder in the first degree. Can you say amen? I'm telling you, you can sit and say, I'm buying me a pre-owned vehicle. Praise the Lord, but there's been mileage already put on it, and it's just every day, amen, just use. Come on now. And I'm telling you, brother, we live in a society that is constantly trying to change the definition of what sin is. But 1 John 3 and 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Amen. God has already clearly defined what sin is. You can try to change it, and you can try to rearrange it, and you can try to give it pretty words, amen, and make it, you can call it anything you want to, amen, but I'm telling you right now, brother, what we have got to do is say, Lord, if you call it a sin, it's sin. If you say it's right, it's right. Come on. And if you say it's wrong, then it's wrong. Amen. Let me preach my text to you for a few minutes, and we'll let you go home. Amen. You know the story. God called Abraham out of the earth, of the Chaldees, out of his homeland, and he told him, I want you to go, and I want you to look for a city. It's got foundations, and the builder and maker is God. Amen. I want you to go. You're going to have a son. 15 years later, Abraham's still wondering about that son, and he's getting on up around 100 now. Amen. And God takes him out and says, Abraham, wherever you can walk, it's yours. I'm going to give it to you. Amen. Abraham, can you count the stars? And Abraham said, no. He said, your seed is going to outnumber the stars, and your seed is going to outnumber the sand of the sea. Amen. I want to look at the failure of Abraham in hopes that maybe you and I could learn something from Abraham's failures. Any wise man would do well to do that. Amen. The Bible said in the book of Genesis 12 and 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Notice next, what's next? A colon, amen. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord. In verse 10, and there was a famine in the land, colon. And Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there. Praise the Lord. Somehow another, amen, Abraham stopped building altars. Amen. It's easy to build altars, brother, when you're in the middle of revival. It's easy to build altars when the Lord's appearing to you and he said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. But I'm telling you tonight, amen, Abraham, when the famine came, praise the Lord, instead of building an altar, when God was silent and he couldn't know the mind of God, amen, and a famine came up, Abraham stopped building an altar. Amen. It's easy to build an altar like Abraham did, as long as God is blessing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We've known several people that way. Amen. They'll pray as long as God's blessing. And Amen. As long as there's money in the bank and gas in the tank, amen. Oh, we're ready to charge hell with a water gun. But you just let a famine come up. You just let something happen that knocks us off of our feet. Amen. And Abraham, the Bible said that he went down to Egypt. Brother, we have got to learn to build altars. Amen. When things are bad, when the sun's shining, build you an altar every day. When it's raining, build you an altar. Amen. This altar will keep you from backsliding. Amen. Your prayer life will keep you from going astray. Amen. Build you an altar, Abraham, when God is blessing. But when the famine comes in, for God's sake, build you an altar. Amen. And God will help you. Amen. It'll keep you from backsliding. But Abraham did not build an altar. He ended up in Egypt. Amen. And that's exactly why we've got so many folks today that are backsliding. It's because they stopped building altars. You do not backslide praying. I don't care. Amen. You don't get, amen, to Egypt by praying. Oh, no. Amen. But you get to Egypt when you stop building the altar. He went down to Egypt looking for food. He went down to Egypt, which is a type of this world. And he was looking for food. But can I tell you, if you get food in Egypt, they're going to have their hand out. And Egypt's going to want payment from you. Amen. Egypt's going to want you to pay for the food that you eat. Amen. It may look like it's a free ride. Amen. But I'm telling you right now, amen, it'll cost you to buy food in Egypt. Amen. On the way down to Egypt, he got to thinking about, woo! Y'all with me? You help me? Come here, baby. I know I'm going to embarrass you tonight, but you're going to get embarrassed good. Praise the Lord. Because I miss things up with. So we might as well get her done. Amen. On the way down to Egypt, he's hugged up on his wife. Amen. He gets a looking over at her. He says, "Babe, if I told you today how beautiful you was, or you are, not was, but have I told you today how beautiful you are? Amen. Watch them rocks right there. Watch them rocks. Get over here. Come on. Amen. Have I told you just how beautiful you are?" And he got to thinking about this thing. Now, if I go down near to Egypt and I try to get food, it's going to cost me something. And he looked at his wife and the selfishness of this man. I can't get over it, brother. Amen. How good he could be in one chapter and how selfish he could be in another chapter. But here this man Abraham is. He looks at his wife and he thinks to himself, "I've got to redefine her. Amen. I've got to come up with some kind of story, brother. Move these altars out of the way, will you? Amen. I've got to redefine who my wife is. Amen." And he gets to thinking about this thing. Amen. He gets to thinking about it as he goes on down the road. Amen. He's a thinking to himself, "Man, I sure married me a beautiful wife. Amen. I mean, I got the cream of the crop. Amen. But oh, I'm afraid. Amen. When did this happen? When did this all begin to take place? Amen. That I've got to redefine my wife. Amen. Let me read to you. Amen. In Genesis 12 and 11. And it came to pass when he came near to enter into Egypt. Amen. He ain't even got there yet. And he's already talking and thinking about, "I've got to redefine who my wife is. Amen. I've got to redefine her. She can't be my wife in Egypt. Amen. I've got to change some things, brother." Amen. I've come to tell you that's exactly what the devil is wanting to do to us. Amen. The closer we get to Egypt, the more we realize the world's going to require a payment from us. Oh, God. Amen. Let's follow him. As I tried to do through what I call the white pages of the Bible. Amen. This afternoon, could you imagine being Sarah? How would you feel? And your husband looks at you and says, "Now, when we get down here, baby, I need you to do something for me. I'm man of God, I'm all that, but now I want you to hear me. Amen. I really need you to follow me on this. My wife would have never been able to do this. Amen. I try to make prank phone calls on people, and she gives it away every time. She'll laugh. Amen. But could you imagine being Sarah standing there holding the hand of a man who's telling you how beautiful you are and then saying, I've got to redefine who you are. We got to change our relationship. Now, you're going to know who I am and I'm going to know who you are, but we're not going to let them know who you are. Amen. Hallelujah. So we got to come up with some kind of plan. Amen. And let's talk about this. Amen. You're beautiful. Amen. Let me just give you a side note right here. Amen. For you young folks, I'm going to help Brother Derek here for just a minute. Amen. I don't care how beautiful she or he may be. Amen. If they don't have a prayer life, they're not fit to carry polecat chitlins to the buzzards. Amen. Woo! If they're not full of the Holy Ghost, they're off limits. Y'all with me? I said if they are not full of the Holy Ghost, they're off limits. That's exactly right. But brother, amen, more than seeking a wife, they need to be seeking the Holy Ghost. And more than seeking a husband, amen, you need to be seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Is that all right? Amen. So, I'm going to move on. I got a long way to go. Amen. So, Sarah, we got to talk. Amen. We need to stop right here. Maybe they spent the night on the edge of Egypt. I don't know how it all happened. Amen. But I could see him out by a campfire in my own mind's eye. And he's trying to redefine who his wife was. Listen, Genesis 12 and 12. He said, therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me. Hey, but they're going to save thee alive. Amen. So say, I pray thee, and thou art my sister, that it may be well for thy sake. Amen. I gotta think about myself. Amen. It'll be well with me for thy sake. And so he starts redefining his relationship with his wife. Ooh. It's about like the man that's got the wedding band on. I don't believe you need one. Don't. Amen. If you act like you're married, they'll know you're married. You go around flirting with every woman in the office, hey, that wedding band ain't going to do you no good. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But it's about like the man who would have a wedding band on, amen, one day, but he wouldn't have it on the next day. Amen. He finds his wife looking, he puts it on. And his wife ain't looking, he takes it off. Amen. Oh, that's exactly what Abraham wanted to do. Amen. He said, I want you to tell them that you are my sister. Amen. Now, we're going to let them know that we're related. Amen. But we're not going to let them know that we're married. Come on now. Amen. He redefined her from being his wife to being his sister. Amen. I want to tell you today, Abraham was saying to her, he said, baby, we're going to let them know. Amen. We know each other, but we're just not intimately connected to each other. Amen. We're family. Oh, but we're not married. Come on now. Oh, God, help me to preach to somebody right now. He was afraid of how Egypt was going to respond to their marriage. Let me ask you a question today. Are you married to this? Amen. I said, are you married to this? Amen. Or are you constantly trying to redefine your relationship with God based on who you are around? Oh, I would to God I had the strength of a bear and the voice of a lion tonight. Amen. My voice about gone. But I'm telling you, we've got too many that have been going to work with their sister, not their husband. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, hey, we saw you out there with that pretty woman. Oh, no, that's just my sister. Yeah, she brings me to work. Oh, yeah, that fish on the front of our car. Yeah, it's back. That's nothing. We bought that car used. It's pre-owned. Come on now, it's just pre-owned. And the fish came on the front. No. Yeah, we go to church every now and again. But, hey, man, we don't mind folks knowing we go to church. And we don't mind people, hey, man, knowing we read our Bible. But we just don't want to let them know we're married to the church. We don't want to let them know that we're married to the Word of God. Hey, man, I'm telling you, brother, we got too many chameleons, hey, man, running around, hey, man, trying to redefine their relationship with God. But, brother, I want to tell you, when the rapture takes place, we're not going to a family reunion. We're going to a marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Don't redefine who you are. Amen. My God of heaven, you ought to let the world know I'm married to this. I'm married to this gospel. I'm married to the church. I'm married to the Lord. He's my everything. Amen. Amen. I want to tell you right now, brother. Hey, man, we got too many that's gone places with their sister and not their husband. I tried to come up with a good catchy title for that right there, but I couldn't do it. Y'all help me do that. Amen. Trying to go to work with their sister instead of their husband or their wife. Amen. This just, yeah, I know them. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. There's a big difference between the relationship of a husband and wife, and there is a husband and a sister relationship. Come on now. Amen. That's why I said, was Abraham from West Virginia, glory to God. Amen. Because we got too many people today that are constantly trying to redefine their relationship with God. Here's how it went. Now, baby, I want you to know something. I really enjoy holding your hand like this. Amen. That man said, if you're going to have prayer time and you're holding hands, don't do it like this. Do it like this. Amen. If you ever see people joining hands for prayer, it's like this and they're not married, I may be worried. Amen. But, oh, hey, man, now, baby, you know how much I like holding your hands. And my palms and my hands get all sweaty. But I want to let you know something. When we get on down here closer to Egypt, now, I'm not going to be able to hold your hand. Okay? I mean, we can walk together. But now, it's got to be like, you know, like brother and sister. Not like husband and wife. Amen. I mean, we can't not. Now, as much as I love hugging you, I want you to know something. When we get down, there can't be no hugging. Amen. Because brothers and sisters don't do that. I mean, brother and sister, they hug like this. Amen. But I'm telling you, when you really want to hug, brother, amen, I ain't going to my sister. Even though I'm from West Virginia, God, amen, I ain't going to her, amen, for no really hug. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. Amen, there's a hug, and then there's a hug, amen. Praise the Lord. And Abraham's saying, now, baby, we can't be doing that because brothers and sisters don't do that. I know you're my wife, and you know you're my wife. Amen, but oh, God, amen, and there's going to be times. There's going to be times when we're going to have to go our separate ways. Because it just looks a little funny with a sister always wanting to tag around on the brother. I mean, I need my space. I mean, I'm my own man. I'm going to be looking weird if I've always got my sister, hey man, clipping around on my heels. Hey man, I can't be doing that. Now, I know you're my wife and you know I'm your husband, but now when we're down here in Egypt, I got to redefine some things. I hope I'm making sense to you tonight because we got so many people, hey man, that are living this way. Hey man, they're one thing, hey man, in front of the work people. Hey man, they go to work with their sister. Hey man, they go to school. Young people, hey man, do you go to school with your sister or do you go, hey man, say it, I'm married to this. It's in every fiber of my being. It's everything that I am. Hey man, my God, if you cut me, I'd bleed. lead King James Version. Come on. Amen. I'm telling you, brother, we have got to be married. Married to the Bible. Married to the church. Married to the Word of God. Married. Our relationship with God cannot be redefined. Amen. Now, I don't mind people at work knowing I go to church, but I just don't want them to know I'm married to the church. I mean, church 3 times a week. And then Sister Missy's wanting to bring the kids up here in the choir practice. What in the world for? Revival. You go to church every night? Oh, God. Help me. No. You see, we go to that church where, hey man, you can go early Sunday morning or you can go late Sunday morning. And you can have traditional service or you can have, hey man, we've redefined our worship. Amen. We redefined our worship. We got some sissified homosexual, amen, standing behind there with a guitar, and it's more like rock and roll than it is worship. Amen. We redefined it. Amen. Oh, you hear me tonight? What we need, amen, in 2012, more than we've ever needed. We need people that will stand up on their feet at work and say, I'm married to this. Amen. I'm not changing. And who I am just because I got to make a living. Amen. I'm telling you today, I'm saved first. I'm a child of the God of God first. I'm married to the Lord first. And I cannot change who I am. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right here tonight. Amen. Oh, we've got too many that wants to date on the weekend. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord, He's just some kind of spiritual date we go on Sunday morning. But you don't date your sister, do you? Woo. Oh, that's probably a good title. Amen. Do you date your sister? Amen. Hallelujah. That wouldn't work, would it? Amen. Praise the Lord, but we got some spiritually doing that. Amen. They'll come to church. Amen. It's just on a Sunday morning or Sunday night or a Wednesday night. Amen. My God of heaven, he's just some spiritual date. I'm not really married to him because I'm going to tell you something, brother. When you stand at that altar and you say, I do. Amen. Ain't no more girlfriends. Amen. I said, ain't no more girlfriends. In fact, don't even mention them, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, don't even meet nobody at Walmart's got the same name as them, amen. Come on now. I come to tell you, brother, amen, we got too many wanting to be married on Sunday and they want a date on Monday. Amen, we got too many, amen, they're wanting to be married to the Lord on Wednesday. But when they go to work, they're going with their sister. Amen, but I come to tell you, my God of heaven, you need to be married to this. You need to sell out. You need to give God everything and say for better or for worse. For richer or for poorer. Amen. In sickness and in health. Till death do we part. Brother, I'm married to this thing. I want to tell you, I'm about through. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Abraham got blessed for redefining who Sarah was. Read your Bible. Genesis 12 and 16. Didn't get blessed by God. He got blessed by the devil, Pharaoh. Genesis 12, 16. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen. And he had asses and men servants and maidservants and she asses and camels. Pharaoh said, man, that's a pretty woman. Give that man a donkey. Praise the Lord. Give him something. Amen. What would women feel like today if you got them on your walking hands down with a Walmart? Yeah, I gave a donkey for her, amen. Oh, God, help me. Amen. But Brother Buchanan, if you'd change the way you preach a little bit, amen, we'd get a little bit more blessing around here. Amen. The church would grow. Amen. I'm going to use a word I hadn't used in years. I remember as a kid, it was bull malarkey. Amen. Y'all ever heard of that? Anybody know what bull malarkey was? I have no idea. Amen. But I'm telling you right now, I remember as a kid, somebody said, bull malarkey. Amen. That's about the way I feel with this new gospel that's coming along. Say, amen, you'll change the way you do things. Amen, you'll attract a new crowd. But brother, I come to tell you, amen, we're not interested in a dating service. We're not interested, amen, come on now, in folks going on some spiritual date. What we've got to do is let the world know I'm married to this. You need to be married to this. I'm married to the church. I don't care what Pharaoh thinks about it. I don't care what Egyptians think about it. She's my wife. I love her. Amen. That's exactly what Abraham should have done. Daniel did not redefine himself. I'm skipping through this. I got somewhere I want to go. Daniel didn't redefine himself. The three Hebrew boys did not redefine who they was. Oh, you seriously thinking about throwing me in that fire? Oh, well, now that makes all the difference in the world. Now, if you're serious about this, hey, man, I'll bow. I mean, good grief, all it is just bending the knee a little bit. I'll do that. Hey, man, let's not go that far. Let's not be fanatics. I mean, I understand you won't be religious. And I understand you won't love the Lord. And I understand that. I understand. But just don't go. You know how many people, when I first got saved, I had good people. Good people. I love them to this day. I still fellowship with them. Amen. But to this day, I could take you to folks that said to me, now, preacher, don't go too far with this thing. Amen. Now, you're on the verge of just being a fanatic. Come on. Amen. Now, don't go. Now, you can take it too far. Now, I love the Lord. Now, don't misunderstand me. Amen. Oh, amen. But I'm telling you right now, that's our problem. I said, that's our problem. We've got too many that don't want to stand up and say, I'm married to this. This is who I am. Praise the Lord. Amen. This beautiful woman on the front pew is not my sister. Amen. She's my wife. Amen. This little old block building we go by, you go to church there. Brother Chad, bless his heart, he's putting the internet site up. Amen. And he would show me the internet site and the picture of the church. And amen. And out, I saw them pine needles out there. And I said, oh, no, that's got to go. Amen. We got to clean that off, brother. With folks on the World Wide Web going to be looking at us. Amen. We got to straighten it up a little bit. Hey, but I want to tell you right now. Amen. Do you drive by when you're telling somebody? Amen. Oh, I go to that church out there on 2427. Amen. Oh, they might be thinking about that big one up yonder. Amen. Oh, no. I go that little old tiny white block building out there. Hey, man, come on now. Hey, man, it don't fit too many people in there. Hey, man, it's not the prettiest church in town, but I'm married to it. Hallelujah. Hey, man, I won't let you know. Hey, man, I'm there every Sunday morning. I'm there every Sunday night. I'm there every Wednesday night. If we got revival, I'm there. I'm married to it. I'm married to it. Hey, man, come on. Stop trying to read. Define your relationship with God. I can't change it. Genesis 12 and 18, Pharaoh called Abram and said, he done had him a dream now, boy. God's going to get Pharaoh. God had to tell Pharaoh, that's his wife. That's not his sister. Amen. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done to me? It dawned on me. Pharaoh never one time asked Abraham to redefine who he was. And I got news for you. The people you work with never one time asked you to redefine who you are. It was our own selfish and our own pride. Hey, man, we was more worried about what Pharaoh thought about our marriage relationship. Amen. More so than what God was going to think about us. Oh, how the Lord, amen, how the Lord must weep. Amen. When he watches some of us as we leave the church. Hallelujah. Pharaoh said, what is this that thou hast done? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Amen. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? Abram, amen. I'm telling you, we need to tell the world. I said we need to tell the world, amen, I'm married to this. I'm married to this. Amen, young people. Amen, some of you have been wondering who's getting married tonight. Amen, Cody came to me and said, Daddy, are you marrying Kendall off tonight? Amen, I thought, I sure hope I do. Amen, I hope I do. Amen, Sister Kendall. Amen, I'd love to see you go home tonight. Amen, and pick up the phone and call some friends and say, I got married tonight. Amen. Amen, I'd love, amen, for our children to go home. Amen, and tell their world, I got married tonight. Hallelujah. I recommitted my vows to the Lord. I recommitted my vow to the church. I recommitted my vow to the Word of God. I got married tonight. Oh, God, help me right now. Amen. Stop trying to redefine who you are. Amen. When you leave the doors of this church, I know you can't have Brother Buchanan there. Sister Ferris, folks can't live with the pastor on their doorstep all 24/7. Amen. But I'm telling you, if your relationship with God doesn't go no more deeper than what this pastor sees and thinks, I'm telling you right now, you don't have a marriage relationship. Amen. Oh, God, help me right now. Brother Buchanan, how do I know? How do I know if I'm married or I've got a husband and sister relationship? Are you embarrassed? Young folks, let me ask you something tonight. Are you married to this? Are you married to holiness? Are you married to holiness? Amen. I feel like I've got Bible. I know I've got Bible for the things that I preach. Amen. That tell you you've got to come out from among the world. Amen. You say, well, Brother Cannon, why don't women wear pants? But not just because of Deuteronomy 22:5, but also because of 1 Peter 3 and 1 Timothy 2:9. Amen. Why don't women cut their hair? 1 Corinthians 11. Amen. What about jewelry? 1 Peter 3. Amen. And on we could go tonight. Amen. But let me tell you something, brother. You got to love it. And you got to be married to it. If you're not married to holiness, amen, the people in this world, they're going to know it. I'm telling you, you're just dating. Amen. When you want to wear your clothes so tight, amen, people can tell, amen, the shape of your body. I come to tell you right now, brother, amen, that's of the devil. I said, that's of the devil. If you're married to the Lord, you're going to love him. Amen. Oh, God, help me right now. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. God of heaven, help me right here. This ain't in my notes, but it probably will be after tonight. Amen. I've got that copy, paste, delete thing going pretty good, brother. Amen. I know how to do it. Glory to God. I want to tell you, you got to fall in love with this thing. Amen. I'll never forget, I was in Jamaica, and this one pastor's wife was standing there, and she was talking to us, and she had long hair, and she flipped her hair out, and she said, I'll tell you, I'd chop every bit of it off if it wasn't for my husband. You know what she was saying? I'm just dating him. I'm not really married to this. Amen. You know where they are today? Amen. As backslid as they can be. Amen. Away from God. The last time I saw her husband, who preached holiness for years, amen, I saw him walking through a mall. Looked like he'd been shot up on steroids. Amen. Walking around, amen, with this woman. I couldn't even recognize who she was. Amen. Why? Because somewhere along the way, amen, they got to dating the world. And they got to fellowshipping with the world. And they came near to Egypt. And they wasn't married to holiness. I'm telling you, brother, you got to be married to it. You got to stand up and let people know, this is who I am, and I'm married to it. Amen. I know it may seem crazy to you, but I want you to stand with me.